Hockey Central at noon on Sportsnet 960. The Fan.
Happy Wednesday. Good afternoon. Welcome inside. It is Hockey Central at noon. My name is Will Nault. He is Peter Klein. Pat Steinberg will not be on the program today. That is, of course, because he's getting set for a marathon type of on-air day. He will begin his day at 2 o'clock with Flames warm-up. Puck drop just after 3 o'clock as Calgary closes out this four-game Ontario road trip in the nation's capital with date number 2 of 2 against the Sens. Mr. Klein, how are we feeling on this Wednesday, my good man?
Feeling good. Feeling weird that we have a 3 o'clock hockey game today, but I am all for afternoon sports. I have been a very big proponent of this, so I am celebrating today that we have a 3 o'clock start. And once again, looking forward to seeing the response from the Calgary Flames tonight after another frustrating one against Ottawa. We'll see how these boys bounce back yet again this afternoon.
And I would say that I don't know where you stand on it, Mr. Klein, but afternoon game, you've got to kind of change your game day watching habits, perhaps. Like, what do we have on the menu today? Do we have a game day snack that we're fancying for the puck drop?
See, normally I would, but because, again, lack of preparation time, I'm probably going snackless for the game tonight. So we'll see. Probably what means I'll be more focused. More engaged? Yes. No. Well, if there's one thing about me, it's that I definitely need to snack more. So we'll see how this is able to adjust things. But what about you?
Yeah, well, we'll see. I got a little bit of that spicy dill pickle bag left of Miss Vicky's chips. So maybe I'll give that a spin. But I'm with you. Don't really have a ton planned. I'm saving my big snack and maybe hot dog day for next Thursday, as there's a big event on the sporting calendar that we'll talk a lot about next week. But that's maybe what I'm saving my hot dog afternoon snack for is Blue Jays opening day, Klein. Not today.
Nice. Yeah, that hot dogs on opening day is an absolute must. For whatever reason, my family went with the hot dog and beefaroni combination. That's always our go-to baseball watching meal. I don't know how that started. Not going to complain about it. It's fantastic. But
now,
yeah,
beefaroni, is that like rice-a-roni? I'm very confused here.
Beefaroni is the
Is it like
Chef
Hamburger
Boyardee
Helper?
Yeah, it's the Chef Boyardee. Comes in a can, plop it down, boil it up a little, or cook it however you see fit. Yeah, you can even microwave it, I suppose. But yes, no, it's from the fine folks over at Chef Boyardee.
All right. Well, I'm here for it. That's excellent stuff. Okay, Klein, now back to more serious matters. We'll get to Peter Labardius here in just a second. Of course, he joins us to kick off every single edition of Hockey Central at noon. But it is in the news. It's the biggest hockey story of the day. Klein, your thoughts on the situation surrounding NHL referee Tim Peel as he was fired today by the NHL after getting caught yesterday on a hot mic about a penalty call regarding the Nashville Predators.
Yeah, I think firing him is a bit extreme. I think that he is just kind of vocalizing something. It's talked about on broadcasts all the time, the makeup calls. And, well, you gotta take advantage because you know the next three penalties are going the other way. It's just something that we've all kind of accepted. And while I understand the pearl clutching today and, oh, well, what if you just called the game by the rules? I guarantee you at some point you'd be very pissed by that. There is a little bit of game management that has to go into it. I do agree that if one team takes five penalties and the other team takes one, that's not the referees not doing their job. That is one team just being better at it. So I do think that makeup calls can be a little bit silly, but I also think if you just called a by the letter of the book tripping call in the last 2 minutes of an overtime game, I would be rather upset by it. So I do think that there is a little bit more game management that goes into officiating that we give a credit for. And I think firing Tim Peel was a wild overreaction to this whole situation.
Yeah, I agree 100%. And I think especially in hockey, I know it's a little bit different in different sports. You know, for example, in the NBA, maybe it's a little easier to quote unquote call it by the rule book. Even though there are tons of emotions that run high in basketball, we've seen different technical fouls and players blow up as well in that sport. And don't get me wrong, we have seen scraps too. But to an extent, I think in hockey, you've got to manage those a little bit more. And everybody listening or anybody who's played hockey knows that you have that game management type feel. I mean, yes, did I play at an extremely high level? Did I play junior A hockey? No, I did. But I did play hockey for a lot of years. And the same goes for, again, anybody listening. And that's not even necessarily hockey. It could be lacrosse as well. But when you have, you know, three or four penalties that go against you in a game, you know, how many times would you go back to the bench and your coach says, okay, be ready, guys. There's going to be a call or two against us here. That's just the way it works. Now, there are some that maybe get upset with that, but that's the way it's always worked, Klein. And for me, it's always been a situation where there's a ton of gray. And if you listen to Matt Duchene, might play that clip for you later in headlines today, but you listen to Matt Duchene, he was on ESPN radio in Nashville today. He says that clip that was on the broadcast last night, Tim Peel is talking to Philip Forsberg. He's talking to a player. So it tells you that there is knowledge of this. You might not agree with it. You might hate it. But that's the reality of it, Klein. So I'm with you. I think firing him was an overreaction. And quite frankly, if he wasn't retiring on April 24th, he probably is just serving a suspension. They're maybe not making this move. And unfortunately for him, he's going to get made a guinea pig here or made as an example. And he's getting that retirement game taken away from him. But yeah, you're lying to yourself if you don't think that this happens everywhere. And there are certain situations where you need to protect stars or maybe you need to call the game tighter. Sure. But I also think that if you actually wanted them to call it by the rule book, you'd be a lot more upset than the way they call it right now.
Oh, absolutely. And I think that the one sport, I know this is Hockey Central, but there is holding on literally every play in the National Football League. Like 100% of the time, someone's holding someone somewhere. And if they called it every time, no one would get anywhere. And so I do think, like, I understand wanting the purity of the game and just call everything by the rule book. And I think for the most part, by the way, I think they do a very good job of that. Like, I think that a lot of things these days, much more than we've seen in the past, are called by the letter of the law. There's a little bit that gets let go, but how many times have we seen some kind of a tripping call or a slash and Twitter blows up with, that's pretty soft. That's a bit of a ticky-tack call. Those are the types of calls that would be happening all the time if you want to go by the letter of the law. And it would drive 90% of fans absolutely crazy. So, again, to the final point, you're kidding yourself if you don't think that, A, it happens, and, B, it's for the betterment of everyone.
He is Peter Klein. My name is Will Malt. Would love your thoughts on the Tim Peel situation at 960-960. The fan feedback line is wide open this afternoon. We'll read some of those as Hockey Central at Noon continues. But a little bit of a delay, but we're ready to roll now. As every day to kick off Hockey Central, we welcome in the Flames color analyst. He is Peter Labardius.
Flames insider Peter Labardius, brought to you by the Gemini Group Home Renovations. Your home renovations should be a reflection of who you are. Give your home the Gemini difference. The Gemini Group, now offering Air Miles Reward Miles. Visit GeminiGroup.ca.
You're not going to go 16-7. You know, trying to play a perimeter game or playing pond hockey, you got to play the right way. And that's how we're going to put a streak together.
There it is. The captain, Mark Giordano, as Peter Labardius joins us right now. And you heard it right there from Gio Liu. They need to go 16-7, 23 are left. The math is not kind, but what do you make of those words from the captain a little bit earlier on today?
Well, in this situation with, in many ways, people already starting, if you will, thinking about next year. What you have to do in these kind of situations is you have to create hope. And what has happened, even what has transpired against Ottawa, the loss a couple of days ago, there's a few things to focus on here. And is the task tall? Yes. But I thought Daryl Sutter made a great point yesterday in terms of how you set goals really, I think, can help you with the highs and the lows. So while the math is not good and the hill is a large one to climb, here's the most positive thing for me, guys, is this. At a time that it's not very positive, and I understand why, you have 5 games left with the Montreal Canadiens. You have 14 home games, and for this team, an opportunity to control matchups, which is really what home ice has become in COVID. You're also going to play the Vancouver Canucks 4 more times, and You know, we don't know the extent of Bo Horvat's injury. We know that Elias Pettersson is out. So the math, when you look at it in a different way, coming out of Ottawa, guys, I'll put it to you this way. I have, and not just in our market, I've never experienced a season in my entire existence of watching and covering sports that you play two good games and it's like you've righted the ship, but you lose a bad game and the whole world feels like it's going to come to an end. And I don't mean that. It's everywhere. Remember when Toronto struggled? Edmonton was, what the heck's going on after the Toronto Maple Leafs went in there and won three games by a count of 13-1.
And now since then, Edmonton looks like they're unbeatable.
Ottawa, it leads to a coaching change. So, you know, again, we're so Flames focused, and for good reason, and North Division focused. The pressure of this playoff all focused in has created noise, and you'll never convince me that noise hasn't affected results. So for Daryl and the Flames, as cliche-ish as it is, you can only win a period, you can only win a game today. So when I look at the last 23 of this season, here's the goal. I've got to keep my team in a good place so that when we play, in particular, the Montreal Canadiens, we're in striking distance. Because the thing that is very different, too, is you can reel an opponent in a lot quicker in head-to-head matchups. That wasn't the case before. Making up ground the old way, way more difficult. So task tough, mountain big. But again, I'm not ready for any autopsy. And you guys, trust me, if anything sticks with you today, you guys on your shows are going to have all kinds of time to discuss why it didn't work and what needs to have happened. And so for me, whether it's the right way to look at it or wrong way, I'm focused on seeing if this team has something, because they need it and they need to get on a roll.
Something that stuck out to me from yesterday, you mentioned Daryl Sutter in some of his comments. When he talked about goal setting, Lou, I thought that was very interesting, because exactly what you're talking about, and maybe it is hard to not talk in cliches when you're discussing it, but when you hear them say, we've got to go 16-7 or 17-6 or whatever it is,
right?
How do you make sure that you're not focused on that big 17 number and you are focused in on the job? Again, it's really tough. It is cliche. It's period of time. It's game of time.
But it's
all
realistic,
that.
Will.
Yeah.
It's
realistic. How do you manage that and maybe not try to let that pressure or those expectations become too overwhelming?
Well, because your mindset and your focus has to change. And I even think when they've played the Ottawa Senators, and I mentioned with, you know, Mr. Klein yesterday, even going back, well, to last season, remember when the Detroit Red Wings beat the Montreal Canadiens last year four times? So you run into situations like this where a team has your number, whether it's where it falls in your schedule. And even think about the last two times the Flames have been to Ontario. They've been in these absolute monumental struggles with the Leafs. And then, you know, your natural human response, I think, sometimes is to take your foot off a little bit. But in terms of your question, it's making it simpler. It's if you're thinking about 16-7, you're finished. You might as well shut it down right now. So again, that's why I think, and Daryl talked about it yesterday. I've coached, and if you've never coached, I've been in some situations. I'll give you a quick story, and just because I want to have fun today as much as anything. So I was coaching a group of kids in Estevan way back in the day, and we lost our first three games in the season, and to the best team in game four, we lost the game 20-4. So do you think I knew I had an uphill battle on my hands and that the kids on the other side weren't better? But here's what I knew in terms of the goal. I knew that we had to get into second place to play a one-game shot for the title. We played them four more times before the title game and lost one and won three because we got progressively better. We won the final 21-3. So does that mean anything to anybody? Probably not. But with those kids, and I think what Daryl Haas is trying to do, and who would do it better than him, is if I let the kids think all year every time we played those guys about 20-4, you're done. So you can't think about 16-7. You've got to think about your immediate goal is staying in the race to get to those head-to-head matchups. So hold serve against everybody else so you can capitalize when you get those chances.
Well, and this
like,
is...
Peter, it feels like we just, like last week we were talking about your small town rivalries in Saskatchewan. So it's good timing here from Lombardius.
Yeah. See,
I'm sure you've got some Estevan stories. Yeah.
Oh yes, yeah, not quite the comeback stories that Lou has. We were usually
who was the team you hated growing up again?
Moose Jaw. All the Moose Jaw teams. We were the biggest of the small towns, so we got to play Moose Jaw a lot. And everyone in my home, you could go there now. Everyone is convinced Moose Jaw still cheats at every time they've ever played.
On, that doesn't happen.
No, never. No, sorry for another day. But one of the things on this that I found interesting just in the last couple of days where we've had Corey Saric on and then you guys had Matt Stajan on, and we've asked them, like, how do you focus on this? How do you just kind of go from big picture down to the little picture? And I was expecting it to be, well, it's not easy and all of these things. And they've both said, it's actually not that difficult. Like Corey said, I just focus on what I do. Like I can't, mm-hmm. Corey has a very good understanding of what his strengths were. He's like, I'm not going to go out there and score five goals tonight. I just have to focus what I'm doing. And Stajan brought up, I think it was Bob Hartley broke things into those seven game chunks and coaches breaking it up like that. And so I think as long as you can just focus on what you're supposed to do, that does make it a little bit easier than just, okay, how am I going to win 23 games tonight?
It is. It apps. Listen, at the core root with every team, as one of the individual players, you have to be better than the guy that you line up against. If you have more guys on your team that are better than the other team's players individually, then collectively, and lots of things can happen. You can run into, 40 plus save goaltending nights. But generally, if you win more matchups individually, it gives your team a better chance. Where teams really run into trouble is, again, the focus isn't on always doing your job to the best of your ability. And that's the other stuff starts to enter in. That's what, and Peter, it's you simplified it beautifully. If I'm thinking about 16-7, or I come in today, if you're a Calgary Flame player today, look at it this way. I'll make it as simple as you can. If I enter that game this afternoon and I'm going, we can't lose to this team again, am I in the right place to be successful?
No chance.
Nope.
You're in the old no chance motel, Lou.
You're in
the,
with maybe without a key, and you
don't have a window.
Not even get to the basement.
Yeah.
Right. So that is simple, but that's really true. So you know, it is a cliche, but cliches are there for a reason. Calgary Flames can't do anything this afternoon outside of one thing: win a game against the Ottawa Senators. So big picture is important. I'm not going to sugarcoat it. They haven't lived up to expectations. A lot of their key players have not lived up to expectations. They're having a miserable time scoring. However, the difference even in that, Daryl Sutter the other day broke that down to a quarter of a goal with what they're giving up. So if I can go into it thinking about it that way, it's different. It can't, like, everybody, and I get it, it can't be big picture right now, because if it is, and the noise is coming from everywhere, like we've talked about in this show, never seen anything like it, and not just in our market, everywhere. It's got to be simpler and more defined, because that's all you can control. You don't know what other teams can do. You don't know how it's going to break down. You get today. That's it. not in a silly way, but a realistic way for everybody. What do we get? We get today. We don't know what's coming tomorrow. And if COVID hasn't taught us that and other things, what would?
He's Peter Labardius, Flames color analyst every game here on Sportsnet 960. And of course, he kicks off Hockey Central at noon, Monday to Friday on Sportsnet 960. Flames and Ottawa at 3 o'clock as it'll be the finale of this four-game Ontario road trip for the Calgary Flames. And I'm Will Nault. He is Peter Klein. And Klein, we talked a little bit, Lou just mentioned it. Goal scoring has been tough for this team.
Yeah, that's definitely been one of the issues, especially in the last little bit. And Lou, we talk about doing your job and talk about kind of simplifying things. This task gets a whole lot simpler if this team can figure out how to put the puck in the net.
It does, and they have to. They're just, and I would break it down this way too. Do I expect to potentially see some line changes today? I do. Now, there's no confirmation yet. But I'm expecting there could be some shuffles, and I'm going to ask you guys at the end about that. But, you know, let's start with Johnny Gaudreau and Sean Monahan, but I think really the offensive driver of this team. Yesterday, Darryl made it, you know, pretty simple, as he usually does. We need Johnny to be more prolific down the stretch. We need our better people to create and be more dangerous. And in the case of Johnny, we know about the frustration. Is the heat on? Yeah. To be frank, he's probably got 23 games to say, I'm here, I'm ready to make a difference with Sean, because it's a really important stretch. And Darryl didn't shy away from, hey, if this is a guy who's had 99 or basically been a point per game, we need that. You guys know, scores his first 5-on-5 goal since February the 11th in the game the other night. But in the case of Johnny, where it gets difficult, I don't know if you guys realize this, he plays 4 seconds more a shift than anyone else. Now, why is that significant? Well, I'll give you the 4 extra seconds if those 4 extra seconds are coming where he's the most creative in the offensive zone. But if it's leading to bad decisions, staying out on the ice longer sometimes, and I think it's not unfair to suggest, even on the winning goal by Ottawa, he was caught out onto the ice for a lengthy period of time. That's where the details, that's where managing the game, that's where, frankly, you want to talk about what we've already discussed, being the best you can be, those details matter. You get caught out on shifts for an extra 5 or 10 sometimes, that's the difference between winning and losing. And that's not just on him. So let me make that crystal clear. But this is a guy, along with Sean, they probably need to get on a roll. They have to get on a roll in some way, shape, or form. And B, if not score more, guys, for me, it's always this. Are you engaged enough? And are you dangerous? Because even when that group is dangerous, it sets the other groups up for more success too. You're probably getting more offensive zone starts. The game's a big puzzle every day. One leads to the other, to the next shift. So, you know, starting there, they need to be more productive and more dangerous.
Now, does that happen with Sean Monahan in your eyes, Lou? Because I think for a lot of people, they are not seeing the same old Sean Monahan that we have known in this market. But at the same time, I think he's part of everybody in terms of needing to do more.
Sure.
You're probably in that camp where you're not separating those two right now, are you?
No, I kind of am separating those two a little bit. I because in terms of progression in defending and then having the puck more, I think Sean has made some strides. Now, it goes unnoticed, and I get why it goes unnoticed. And has he scored enough? No. But for me, the driver offensively on that line is Johnny Gaudreau. The defensive driver of that line is Sean Monahan because he is the center. So look at it more. That's where they share, guys, for me. When the puck gets out of the zone, I want Johnny to have it more. And so does Sean, because you know what? Guess who benefits the most from Johnny being more dangerous?
23.
So the details in your own end give you the puck more. Daryl calls it playing in the fun zone. Johnny Gaudreau, listen, he loves it in the fun zone. But you got to do it right to get out of the defensive zone, make good decisions in the neutral zone, especially when it's plugged up, put pucks in good places. It's and this team, the other thing about offense, guys, it's not as simple as when Daryl took over, everybody talked about dumping. No, it's not being just a dump and chase team. You know what it is? To be a good offensive team and a good offensive group, this team's not going to score a pile. I mean, against, and again, judging not against the rest of the league. This year, we can only judge against the teams that you're playing. And that's not a misnomer, but I think for all of us, the focus, while we don't get away from the North, it's like at that point in time, we do get away from the North and then we apply it to other seasons. This is how you match up every night against six other teams. It really is. And against three of the teams, you don't stack up with high-end guys. A day like today, your high-end guys, again, better should be dangerous.
Yeah.
And they better be noticeable. So the matchup does matter, but, you know, that's what it is for me. It's about making good decisions with the puck. When you're in the neutral zone, if you have nothing, you know, put it in places where you can get it back. Get off the ice sooner if you don't have anything. You know, it's a very simple game, but when the details are just a little off, you're going to get it.
You heard Lou mention it there, Klein. Maybe going to see some lineup changes and some line tweaks. Let's have some fun, as Lou says. Let's kick it around here a little bit. What are some combinations that intrigue you, Klein? What are maybe some of the things you'd like to see the Flames try? Not only this afternoon, but different times for the rest of the season.
I wouldn't mind going back to kind of the bubble lines where you put Lindholm with Johnny Gaudreau. I think when we talk about this team not necessarily having the firepower, I think that it is in theory lovely to be able to spread out that firepower. But when you're struggling the way the Flames are, I would try to just clump all the firepower together and be able to roll it that way. So I wouldn't mind Lindholm with those guys. But one look I would really, really like to see, and I'd be interested to get your guys' thoughts on this, I think Mangiapane has been one of the Flames' best guys this year, and I think that he would be quite the addition to 13 and 23. When you look at someone who can retrieve pucks and kind of set those guys up for what they can do best, I wouldn't mind seeing that combination together. So if we're having fun, I would like to see Andrew Mangiapane with those two guys.
As my guy Lou says all the time, it's just too bad 88 doesn't bring his work boots. Hey, Lou? No,
right.
Good old plug and play. Good old plug and play.
What do you think of that fit, Lou?
I don't mind it, but I'm going to go in a different direction. There's one combo, and I'm more especially with this team. You know, the focus, gents, has become more about pairs sometimes than it is about trios. And with this team, you know, there's reasons for that in terms of trios. But two things come to play, and it can change based on the matchup, home and road. So the one duo I'd like to see go back together potentially is Backlund and Tkachuk. Because those guys, to me, are the two-way group that you can play against anybody and they can produce. So that, in a sense, for me right now, if I'm looking to make one change, and I don't know, maybe even number 88 goes with those guys, maybe. But when I think about constructing my lines, I have to look at matchups, and not as much today, because you probably should if you play well, and I don't want to take anything away from Ottawa, but you should win some matchups today if you're at the top of your game.
Right.
But Michael Backlund, for me, with this team, is such an important guy. And like the rest of his mates, he's had some incredible nights and incredible nights against Connor McDavid this year, a couple of them in particular. But Matthew Tkachuk, to me, it just hasn't really fit yet. And I know Matthew, and I have enough intel on Matthew. I think the one guy he enjoys playing with the most is Michael. And And those two are good for one another, I think, because sometimes Michael probably needs a little extra edge and feistiness and get into the battle. That's why that 3M line was such a good line, because Matthew dragged Michael in, that upped Michael's two-way game, and then you had Mr. Consummate Pro on the other side and Michael Frolik. Well, I can see that formation with Mangiapane. Then Daryl said yesterday, he's probably not breaking up Sean and Johnny. And I get why. You know, we can get into that at another time. But we've kind of got into kind of, okay, it's probably swim or sink time. So then maybe I build a more offensive type line where I can put them out in more of those kind of situations. And I do. I think Sean's play, one of the reasons that they moved Lindholm was because they felt better about Sean's overall game. You don't make that move unless you go there. So, but it's for me today, and we'll see how it plays itself out. We'll discuss it, obviously, in a couple hours on Flames warm-up. I think if you're looking for something different to kind of glue it and give it stability, Backlund and Tkachuk might be a decent place to begin.
Klein, closing thoughts on that?
I like that a lot. And I think at this point, that is something that has worked in the past. And I like going with that. And I am still of the belief that you keep Gaudreau and Monahan together. But I think Tkachuk and Backlund would work quite well together. So I certainly would be up for them trying it.
Look at that. Everyone wins. Everyone wins. Kind of a mix of the bubble lines that you talked about, Klein. And then, right. You know, it's going to be some tweaking here and there. And as you say, Lou, it's probably a discussion for a different day. But I'm with you guys. I think in the short term or in the immediacy, keeping Monahan and Gaudreau together is the right move. And I do think there is some there's definitely some juice to putting Tkachuk and Backlund back together. And I think for a lot of people, Lou, and just quickly on this to end, I think a lot of people have wondered or questioned what's gone on with 19 this year. And I wonder if that might not be a huge kind of way to get a spark and light a fire under his arse too.
Well, when I think about emotional leaders on this team, two guys come to mind. Milan Lucic, who, even though he makes the odd mistake, don't tell me that he hasn't been engaged and ready and his details haven't been good. This 56 game all-in for an all-in guy on hockey, I knew it. Those are the kind of guys that prosper in these kind of situations. And is it perfect? No, but do I trust him as much as anybody? So there's who was mad again the other night and ready to, like, probably should have thrown the stick down the bench, to be honest, instead of down the hall. But Matthew is such a massive piece. He really is. And he knows it. I think he's struggled. I think there's been some reasons why. But I truly believe if this team gets on a run, he's going to have his hands, feet, punches, goals, assists, backside, all over. It's so, so important that he is at the top of his game, because emotional people, when they are right and message right and get to good places, that's how you lift a team that, frankly, does struggle emotionally and has for a long time to a better place.
We got to run. We're up against it, Lou. Great stuff as always, pal. We will talk to you tomorrow. At least Mr. Klein will talk to you tomorrow. We will we'll talk very soon. Thanks, pal.
Fabulous, guys. Really, really enjoyed it.
Flames Insider, Peter Loubardias, brought to you by the Gemini Group Home Renovations. Your home renovations should be a reflection of who you are. Give your home the Gemini difference. The Gemini Group, now offering Air Miles Reward Miles. Visit GeminiGroup.ca.
There it is, Peter Loubardias, every single day to kick off Hockey Central at noon. And can tell you, Klein, is we were finishing up with Lou. Daryl Sutter was talking with the media, says they will dress 7 defensemen for warm-up tonight, and there could be a potential change back there. The forwards will stay the same. We don't know about line combinations, but nobody is coming in or out of the lineup when it comes to the forward group. And potentially, one change on the back end, as I wondered aloud on Twitter. I do wonder if Alex Petrovic will draw in to make his Flames debut, but of course, recalled a couple of days ago from the Stockton Heat. That's kind of where I look, but outside of that, it doesn't appear like we're getting a dramatic shift from what you saw on Monday.
No, at least not the personnel that's in there anyway. It's kind of turned into a bit of a revolving door beside Valimaki. And if Petrovic comes in, be interested to see the report that those two have as they try to figure out that sixth defensive spot on this team.
What do you think, I guess, bigger picture before we take a break on Valimaki this year? Because you're right, it has been a revolving door on the other side, but it does feel like the youngster has hit a bit of a plateau. He's hit a bit of a wall. Mm-hmm. What are you seeing with Valimaki?
Plateau is a good way of putting it. I think that he's been fine. I don't think he has been a liability by any stretch of the imagination, but I don't think that he has ascended to quite the heights at quite the speed that some people were hoping that he would when we were having off-season conversations about, well, do you trade Hanifin? This is, I mean, A, the way Hanifin's playing, but also B, this is why you don't trade him, because you have to let this kid develop. I still think he's going to be fantastic, but he has definitely been a 5-6 defenseman for this team so far. And at his age and the spot he's at in his development, that's fine. But he hasn't really been much more than that this season. So still some things to work on in his game for sure. What about you? Where are you at on him?
Yeah, I'm the same way. I think plateaued, as I said. I think he's definitely hit a bit of a wall. I don't know if that's the rookie wall or what you want to call it, but certainly seems like he has kind of reached that peak. We'll see what he can do over the final 23 games of the year. But it is kind of a far cry of the early season projections. We were all guilty of it on this show, including myself, but he has not surpassed a Hanifin or a Giordano or an Anderson on the depth chart, at least not yet. And as I say, it just seems like he's hit a bit of that rookie wall, but we'll find out what the final 23 games look like. And again, that's just us predicting what could happen for this afternoon's game. If you're just listening in, Daryl Sutter, we'll hear from him in the next segment, but the same forwards and potentially one change on the back end. Hey, we didn't get to it today, but the Montreal Canadiens are not playing a game this evening against the Edmonton Oilers. Of course, all their games until Sunday have been postponed. They are dealing with a COVID-19, we'll call it a mini outbreak. Two players remain on the COVID list. Joel Armia and Jesperi Kotkaniemi are the two players from Montreal on the COVID-19 list. We'll see what happens today. The list is usually released around 3 o'clock Mountain Time every single day. The good news is yesterday they added nobody to that list. And quickly before we break, Klein, we didn't get to it with Lou today, maybe possibly tomorrow. What kind of impact, if any, do you see this COVID pause or COVID shutdown affecting Montreal and potentially opening that door a little bit more for the Calgary Flames?
Yeah, I think it's the only thing it's going to affect is whether the regular season ends on time and also how they judge the playoffs. I think we might go to a points percentage based thing, but I do think that we still up north have the best shot of getting all 56 in.
So we'll see what Montreal, what that list looks like. Again, the list is released about 3 o'clock Mountain Time every single day. And you can get that list NHL.com or, of course, follow any of the insiders on Twitter. We'll take a break. When we come back, we will hear from the Flames head coach to close out Hockey Central at noon. An early game day. We've got a sandwich show. We're happy you're with us. Stay tuned. Daryl Sutter next on Hockey Central.
Hockey Central at noon on Sportsnet 960, The Fan.
It is Hockey Central at noon on a Calgary Flames game day. Afternoon affair tonight in the nation's capital. Afternoon affair tonight. That doesn't make any sense, Will. Get off the radio right now. I think you'd make a lot of people happy. Welcome back to the program. It is Hockey Central at noon. I'm Will Nault. He is Peter Klein. It's the matinee game tonight, Klein. That's what's happening.
Right. Yes. An afternoon game tonight.
That's right. That is right. Close. So if you're just joining us, we will hear from Daryl Sutter in just 2 seconds. What's with the lineup? What's happening this afternoon in Ottawa? Yes, it is not being played tonight. In fact, puck drop is just over 2 hours away. What a better time. Speaking about 30 minutes ago, let's hear from Flames head coach Daryl Sutter.
Hi, Daryl. I suppose, Daryl, we're roughly a month into your time in charge of Calgary Flames. How would you reflect on the first month in charge?
Well, I don't think it's been a month. It's been 2 weeks. So that's it doesn't feel like a month. It feels like 2 weeks. It's been good. It's been awesome. The guys are good. They're good to work with. It's just getting them up to where they got to be to compete in this division.
And I suppose, Daryl, in terms of the season, 33 games have been played, but there's 23 games remaining, and I know you're desperate to make a playoff push in terms of Calgary this year. And so it's very essential now that you start to go on a streak and pick up a few wins on the trot.
Well, we've played really well. We just fell short in goals the last two games, so we've been playing really well. So our goal is not to look at it in that long term. Our goal is to win tonight and go home, and then we have a distinct advantage in our home road schedule. So we want to go home with the win. That's our focus.
Daryl, you talked a little bit about this on following the game Monday and yesterday too, but when you get as many shot attempts as you did, especially in the final 40 minutes, is there a key to turning those into more dangerous opportunities, or is the key just to keep on doing it and keep on sticking with it?
Well, that's two sides to that coin. Number one, you want to have as many as your shot volume as much as you can, and then secondly, you want to improve on where they're from. So there's two or three areas that we went over with guys yesterday that we feel that can help us, and even if it's just one or two more of those quality opportunities a game, that might be the difference. So it would have been the other night when you're looking at what the score was.
Hi, Daryl. Are there lineup changes tonight?
We got one extra D going in warm-up, Gord, just to make sure our forwards will stay the same.
Good morning, Daryl. I'm wondering if you saw last night about the controversy around Tim Peel and the makeup call in the Nashville game, and what do you think about that whole dynamic of makeup calls and the in-game management by referees in the Nashville?
First off, that's a very isolated incident, and it doesn't happen. End of story. Tim Peel's a great referee, a veteran referee, and I'm sure he feels bad for what he said, but our game is not – referees do an awesome job, and the officials are respected by each other and by the players, so that's all that matters to me.
Daryl, I know you just said you're really pleased with the way that the team has played the past couple of games. I'm just wondering, with kind of the sprint to the finish that's starting to shape up and not having been in Calgary for very long, how do you kind of balance that? You know, we're happy with what's happening over here with the fact that the wins need to kind of pile up quickly for this team to get where they need to go.
Well, they do, but where do you need to go? I mean, the team has to get – there's a reason that we are – the team is where they are, right? So you have to correct those reasons. It's not just going and say it. It's about doing it and understanding it. And you know, the last time we did this, it took 3 months to do it. And it, you know, I don't know if that's long enough or not long enough. I really couldn't tell you. I just know that I have enough experience and knowledge of the game that I know that the team has to play the right way. And the big thing the last 2 days is, well, you don't score. How are you going to score more? Well, you play the right way, you have a chance to score. Otherwise, it's just as easy to score. It could be 3-7 or it can be 3-2. So I kind of like 3-2 better than 3-7.
There you go. That's Daryl Sutter speaking with the media a little bit earlier on today. And as you heard there, Klein, we talked about it briefly before we take the break into the big show. Just seven defensemen, no changes up front. That means Brett Ritchie remains out day-to-day with a lower body injury. Thoughts on what you just heard from the head coach?
Yeah, I'll be interested to see what the line combinations look like. Obviously, the personnel is going to be the same, but there can be tweaking within that. And I'll be interested to see it and just that chemistry they have with Yusuf Välimäki. And as far as what we heard from the coach, he is a man who has a very good understanding of what the situation his hockey club is in and kind of the desperation that is needed as they go along. So we'll see if they can kind of match that tonight against Ottawa.
All right, we'll take a break. When we come back, we will get right into it as we've got a jam-packed hour leading you right into Flames warm-up. Logan Gordon is going to kick things off with a special early edition of Headlines. Big Show will kick off in a little bit. Sportsnet 960 The Fan.
All All day long, we do the searching, the editing, the filtering. We find the good stuff, add some opinion, and call it Sportsnet 960 Headlines.
Big Show Headlines, brought to you by Hyatt Infinity, home of the synthetic oil change starting at just $79.95. Any make, any model. Hyatt Infinity, Heritage Meadows Road on Luxury Lane.
Starting the big show off with a bang as we get right to it on an abbreviated day. Logan Gordon with your headlines. Logo.
Who the hell are you?
Allow myself to introduce myself.
Good morning, Logan.
Logan.
All right, so now let's talk about what really struck me about Logan. He's older, he's weaker.
Can't Logan find better work?
I'm an idiot! You're an idiot! You're an idiot!
Good afternoon, gentlemen. A Calgary Flames game day, the early edition of a Calgary Flames game day. We are under an hour from Flames warm-up, just about 2 hours to go to puck drop, 3 p.m. Mountain Time, 5 p.m. Eastern. The Flames finishing off a Ontario road trip with another matchup against the Senators. We all know how last game went. Daryl Sutter speaking to the media today saying that they're going to be dressing an extra defenseman in warm-up. That'll probably be where we see any lineup changes. The forwards will stay the same. We're expecting Jacob Markstrom to get the start in goal for the Flames. Klein, we'll start with you. We've had this discussion pretty much since the Flames' last loss to Ottawa, but this road trip really would be an unmitigated disaster if they don't come away with 2 points today.
Oh, no kidding. Yeah, we talked about needing 6 or 7 points out of this one, not two. So yes, no, this is as must win as last game felt. This one, absolutely, you need to come away with 2 points as well. The math continues to not be in this team's favor, and it gets a lot more difficult if you drop back-to-back games to the only team that's behind you.
Yeah, and I know Lou talked about it when you're playing. You know, they've got the 9 matchups with Montreal and Vancouver left this season, but quite frankly, if you're relying on just that, you're probably not going to put yourself in a very good spot, and you've still got to win because you're the bottom of those three teams. You've got to win about 7 of those 9 matchups, and that's not a guarantee either. So it is very cliche, but they've got to start with today, and they have to come home with 2 points, especially knowing the way Monday went. And, you know, they were just a handful of minutes away from getting at least 1 point. And it's pretty sad, when, as Pat mentioned yesterday, when we're talking about getting a point or should have got a point against Ottawa. They need to be better, and they need two today. We'll see what happens in a couple of hours.
Country Hills Toyota, your game day sponsor. Like I mentioned, an early start. We're an hour away from Flames warm-up. Pat and Lou getting you through it. From the Envision Custom Renovations Hot Stove Lounge, puck drop at 3 o'clock, another edition of Flames and Senators. We'll move to some other NHL stories away from the Flames today, guys, and the talk around the NHL has been about an official and a decision that came down from the NHL today after an incident in Detroit and Nashville's game yesterday where this happened and Tim Peel got caught on a hot mic.
It wasn't much, but I wanted to get a f***ing penalty against Nashville early.
You can come down on either side of the fence on this one about what you think about makeup calls or what exactly the impact this is. It seems to happen in every sport, but the fact of the matter is that Tim Peel got caught and probably not the best look for the NHL to have him admitting that to their fans as they watch the game. Colin Campbell, the vice president of hockey operations for the NHL, said this in a statement today when the league announced that they had fired Peel for his comments. Quote, nothing is more important than ensuring the integrity of our game. Tim Peel's conduct is in direct contradiction to the adherence to that cornerstone principle that we demand of our officials and that our fans, players, coaches, and all those associated with our game expect to deserve. There is no justification for his comments, no matter the context or his intention, and the NHL will take any and all steps necessary to protect the integrity of our game. End quote. The Preds would win that game 2-0. Peel has been a referee since 1999, guys, but today he finds himself without a job, Will.
Yeah, and there's a lot of, whether it be players or former executives in the NHL, there's a lot of people talking about how great a referee Tim Peel is. You heard Dale Sutter talk about that as well. He's getting made as an example because he was caught with a hot mic, because you are bang on, Mr. Gordon, when you say this happens in every game. And it usually happens in a majority of sports. Does that make it right? No, not necessarily. But at the same time, when you are refereeing a game with emotions and grown men or women, sometimes that emotion can kind of overtake things and you get something that gets out of control. If you've ever reffed a game or ever were an official in any sport in your life, you would know that. And that's just the way it is. If you didn't try to manage those expectations, things would get out of hand a lot more. So there's a ton of gray here. I think that's what makes it hard for a lot of people, Klein, but I don't agree. I think it is a overreaction by the NHL with this move today. But I also say that if he wasn't retiring at the end of April, they probably wouldn't have made this move either. It is a lot of PR. And the same time, too, that we haven't really talked about, but I have seen some people bring it up on Twitter, and I'd be curious where you are because you dabble in it more than I do. But as the NHL and a lot of sports in North America start to wade in and dip their toe, if not their entire hand, in the basket or the pool that is sports gambling, you can't really have a situation like this continue, nor can you have Tim Peel be an employee because he's the one who got caught saying that.
No, that part is very much true. And we are not that far removed from the Tim Donaghy situation where he was fixing games. And this is not what Tim Peel is saying here. And I do think they're making an example out of this. I do think that it is quite the overreaction to something that we all know happens anyway when it comes to makeup calls. He wasn't saying that there was no penalty on the play. It was just, hey, wanted to get one early, saw one, and so he called it. So I think that there is a lot of overreacting going on to this situation today. Makeup calls are very much a part of this sport and a part of all sports. If you're inventing calls, that's one thing. But if you see a call and you make that, I have no problem with it. I think there's a lot of overreacting going on today.
On the NHL schedule tonight, guys, four other games beside the Flames and Senators. Of course, no Oilers and Habs, with Montreal's games for the week being postponed due to COVID protocols. We have the Kings and Sharks at 8:30. Another early start out west here. Ducks and Wild get going at 3:30. Winnipeg and Vancouver, the only other North Division game. The Flames will see the Jets for three games starting on Friday. And, of course, the big storyline of those other games, the Buffalo Sabres back in action against the Pittsburgh Penguins in the midst of their 14-game losing streak. Klein, does that come to an end tonight against Sidney Crosby and company?
I don't think so. I'm probably going to be a game late on picking when the losing streak ends for this team. But the Pittsburgh Penguins locked in this playoff race right now. I would be quite surprised if they were the one to slip on the banana peel. And Logo, this is something we talked about a while back. This losing streak could go on for a while as well. This division is silly good. And now you have a playoff race right in the middle of it that is going to have these teams extra focused on beating up on the Sabres.
Yeah, and that's certainly going to be a complicated or hard issue for them, and I feel for them because we've talked about a lot. Things are bad there, but they also play in maybe the league's toughest division.
Speaking of that division, the Sabres games, they have back-to-backs tonight and tomorrow with the Penguins. They'll see the Bruins Saturday afternoon before 2 against Philadelphia to close out the month. We'll see if they can end that 14-game losing streak tonight. We move to the NBA, where we're talking about another losing streak and one that Peter Klein won't enjoy talking about quite as much. And Klein, I'll admit, yesterday I did all this work. I made this fun little montage because the Raptors have been so bad, and then I forgot you weren't joining us for headlines yesterday. So I saved this for you today specifically.
The North!
Woo! They might be the worst professional sports team I've seen ever.
It is but ugly.
I can't remember a time seeing any team so much worse than every other team in their league.
No.
I'm part of the North.
No good.
We the North.
Oh,
no, 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 no.
Whoa.
Clean it up.
Are you kidding?
No.
Oof. Oof. Klein, the Raptors, 9-game losing streak, the latest coming at the hands of the Houston Rockets. who had lost 20 straight going into that game. They play the Denver Nuggets today, the fifth best team in the Western Conference. Certainly no pushover there, and now reports seemingly sounding like the Raptors might be waving a bit of that white flag, discussing trades perhaps of Kyle Lowry and Norman Powell as their season didn't turn out well. It's been a tough one. You can use the COVID thing as part of it. They had to move to Tampa Bay, but clearly not the same team that won that championship a few years ago, and now maybe looking at a reset.
Yeah, last year they overachieved, and this year they're wildly underachieving, and they do have pretty outrageous circumstances. They haven't played a home game in over a year now, and just as they were getting going, the team gets hit with COVID, and most of their starting lineup goes out. A lot of guys still working their way back to game shape, so it has been a bit of a disaster this season, and you hear from the insiders, it certainly does sound like we are into the last legs of Norm Powell and Kyle Lowry as Toronto Raptors. So, Will, the face of the Raptors could be quite different by the time the week is over.
I've been wanting to ask you this for a long time, Pete. Is Kyle Lowry the greatest Raptor of all time?
Oh, yes. Yes, he is. Yeah, there is absolutely no question in my mind what he has meant for the franchise and the turnaround that they have had. There is absolutely no doubt in my mind Kyle Lowry is the greatest Toronto Raptor of all time.
Klein, I've been wanting to ask you this for 30 seconds. What losing streak ends first, Sabres or Raptors?
Why you got to play me like that, Logan? Why we got to do that? I'll say the Raptors just for my own sanity. I don't know if I truly believe it, but I will say the Raptors losing streak ends first.
Let me see here. Raptors. Trying to find their schedule here. Okay, here we go.
Yeah, the schedule
Denver,
coming up. They got
Phoenix.
Yeah.
Portland, Detroit, OKC. I think Detroit's terrible.
So is OKC. So
Phoenix
can...
not likely going to be a win. Portland's okay. Detroit's bad. Detroit, this is the one. Is that the one we're looking at to fix this?
If we're looking at the easiest one, yes. But again, they just lost to a team that's lost 20 in a row. So it's tough to really pinpoint these as like real obvious ones. But I will say Detroit is probably your most likely one once this three-game stretch at home is done. Home in quotation marks, obviously.
If you're so inclined to want to catch that Raptors game tonight and see if they can bump the streak.
And on our daily Calgary Flames roundtable coming up next.
Your afternoon radio routine. This is The Big Show with Steinberg, Nalton, Klein. Sportsnet 960, The Fan.
Daily Calgary Flames Roundtable, brought to you by Mercedes-Benz Country Hills. Their certified pre-owned spring sales event is on, with special incentives on 2017 to 2020 vehicles. Visit MercedesBenzCountryHills.ca.
It's interesting that the ID off the top says your afternoon radio routine, because there is nothing routine about today with a 3 o'clock start for the Calgary Flames as they get set to take on the Ottawa Senators. So everything a little abbreviated today. Welcome to the Big Show and the 1:30 Flames Roundtable on Sportsnet 960 The Fan. I don't get to be a part of these roundtables a lot, so I am very much looking forward to this conversation with Will Nault and the play-by-play voice of the Calgary Flames in Derek Wills. And gentlemen, it has come to everyone's attention that maybe this team might need a bit of a shakeup as we are approaching a point where of no return for this team in playoff chances. So, Mr. Wills, I will ask you first, is it time to change the lines for this Calgary Flames squad?
I think it is, because you can always go back to the lines that you've been using, and Daryl Sutter's pretty much used the same combinations in all seven games that he's been behind the bench. He had to change up the Monahan line because of the Richie injury, and there's been some moving parts in the fourth line, but you know he's pretty much stuck with the same four lines for the majority of the games that he's been the head coach for. So you can always go back to those lines. You can always go back to the bubble lines, which when they went back to them against the Senators earlier this season, worked great for one game and then horribly in the next game. So I'm not sure that's the solution right now. But right now it just feels like this team needs to try something new because they haven't been good enough and they're not scoring enough goals. So what can you do to score more goals? Well, you can play better. That's one thing. And we'll, I think, get into maybe a little deeper dive into what the Flames can do to create some more chances a little bit later on in today's Daily Calgary Flames Roundtable. But something else you can do is try to change up the mix, try to change up the chemistry. Ideally, you wouldn't have to do it, but with the position the Flames are in, 4 points out of a playoff spot with 23 games to go, it feels like they have to try something new, something different. So maybe today's the day to do it. No, none of the lines are working particularly well right now. So it's not like you worry about breaking one line up and changing something that's working to try to fix something that's broken. That's not the case right now. None of the lines are really working the way you want them to. So if you're going to make a change, I think now's probably the time to do it.
Yeah, it seems like, I don't know, two or three times a year we've got those situations where, you know, really anything that you suggest or anything you throw out there, you can't really argue against it. And I feel like we're at that point right now. Like, for me, I think there's more arguments or more to chew on the change it up side as opposed to keep it the same. Because we talk a lot about sample sizes as well. Well, we have a big enough sample to this group and how they're lined up right now, or like we've seen the last little bit here, that do we need to continue to play that out? You know, Derek and I got into it yesterday about the week or week and a half more that you need to see. Well, in that week or week and a half, I would suggest that maybe changing it up and giving yourself a different look, you might be able to take new cues or take something from your team. But if you keep it the same, and maybe that's where you and I disagreed the biggest yesterday, Derek, because if you keep that the same, well, if you win three games, I don't know if you're really learning a ton about your team that's all that different that you know, 3 weeks ago when you had a win streak of three games. And keep in mind, they've only done that twice this season. As Derek mentioned, before the last three-game win streak, it was early on in the year. So I take all of that and I say, well, if we're sitting here today and we continue to talk about the same things and one of the biggest issues with this team is trying to find a way to generate more offense, well, I would say at this point, changing it up might give you at least a chance to generate a little bit more offense. And if it doesn't work, well, then you can at least fall back on this. But I am at the point where, for me, one of your most, if not the most dynamic offensive player, Johnny Gaudreau, yeah, he broke through last game and scored at even strength, but that was the first time since February 13th. And so that's a player in my eyes that needs to get going. And Daryl Sutter said as much yesterday, Pete. If the Flames want to do what they hope to do over the final 23 games, Johnny Gaudreau has kind of got to be the driver of that offense. And I don't know if you continue down the road you're going right now, if you're going to see that from Johnny Gaudreau.
No, and I think that you really do need to get him going, and that's why I would kind of shake things up. And it's clear, while I have in mind Richie with Gaudreau and Monahan, I think that the random revolving door of wingers on that right side needs to stop for a bit. I personally would, I don't know if I would go back with everything like the bubble, but I would go with those guys with the bubble, and I would put Lindholm back there with Gaudreau and Monahan. I think that the spreading out the wealth works when everything is going, but to Wilsey's point, nothing's going right now. So I want to focus as many of my top players in that top six as I possibly can. I like kind of loading it up with a Gaudreau, Monahan, and a Lindholm. And to your guys' point, it's not like you're breaking up something that's working right now. There isn't really a line that you can say, well, you have to keep that the same. So yeah. I think you do need to shake this up. And Wilsey, for me, it starts with Gaudreau, Monahan, and Lindholm. But I'm open to pretty much anything at this point.
Yeah, and I know that there are a lot of people out there that want Daryl Sutter to break up Sean Monahan and Johnny Gaudreau. Reading the tea leaves, fellas, I don't get the sense that's going to happen. And maybe I'm wrong. Maybe it'll happen in warm-up today, and we'll see it in this game against the Senators this afternoon. And the other thing that I just don't get the sense the Flames want to do is move Elias Lindholm from center back to right wing. And you guys know where I stood on this before the season started, and you know, have certainly made this point a number of times during the season as well, that the Flames' biggest hole is on the right side in their top six. They need a right shot, right winger, who's a legitimate top six guy. They don't have one of those guys on their roster not named Elias Lindholm. But the problem is he's their best center and their best right winger. So you have to pick one of those two positions to play him in. I certainly wouldn't hate it if they move Lindholm back onto a line with Monahan and Gaudreau, but I'm not sure I see that coming. I don't get the sense that they want to do that or want to do it yet. So we'll see what they decide to do. I mean, I think things are looking stale right now. And, you know, I go back to when Jeff Ward was the head coach. You know, he kept putting the lines into a blender and people were getting frustrated with that. But I can guarantee you, because I asked him the question a number of times, he didn't want to put the lines in a blender. He felt like he had to put the lines in a blender. So that didn't work. So now Daryl Sutter comes in and we saw some consistency in the line combinations for seven games. That didn't work. So now you maybe try some new lines and hope that that works. I do know this. Calgary Flames head coaches this season have tried a lot of different things and not enough of those things have worked. And for me, that's not on the coaches. It's on the players. They simply have to be better.
Just quickly before we move on from this, Derek, and maybe this bleeds into the next topic, and if it does, I apologize to both you and Klein, because I think Klein was going to go there anyways. But we talked with Lou about it last hour. Not sure if you heard our chat or not. I'm curious if you would, you know, for example, yeah, maybe it's not Lindholm on the wing, but do you put Johnny Gaudreau with Lindholm and give Monahan some new wingers? I don't know who that would be. And the other guy that we talk a lot about to maybe not having – it this season or just being a little bit off is Matthew Tkachuk. And Lou thinks a big part of that is you know, he loves and thrives with playing with a guy like Michael Backlund. That's maybe his favorite guy to play with. And Lou thought maybe if they could get somewhat of that 3M line back, maybe it's not Mangiapane, but, you know, maybe it is 1911 and 88. Maybe you've got Lindholm on a line with somebody else. I don't know what that looks like, but I guess it just is a bigger way and a bigger can to what we were just talking about, how there's really no wrong suggestion at this point.
Yeah, again, I don't get the sense that they're anxious to split up Monahan and Gaudreau, but Matthew Tkachuk has not looked like himself, at least not to me this season. And, you know, it's harder for me to kind of break a player's performance down while calling a game that it might be for you watching at home or for my broadcast partners, Peter Laviolette and Pat Steinberg. I have to focus on where the puck is. And I can't, as a result, focus on what guys are doing away from the puck. But I know this much. When I'm not saying Matthew Tkachuk's name a lot, chances are he's probably not as effective as we know he can be. So if I'm going to shake things up, one of the reasons why is to try to get him going, because he is such an important player for this team. And when he's right, and when he's on top of his game, and when he's like Glenn Gullitson used to say, in the fabric of the game, he can win games for you. That's how an important a player Matthew Tkachuk is. So I would not at all be surprised if they reunited him with Michael Backlund, because that has been a dynamic duo that's worked in the past, and I think it could work again. And maybe giving Elias Lindholm a different winger if they decide to leave him at center will get him going offensively a little bit, because for me, you know, his game's been a little bit up and down of late as well.
This is your daily Calgary Flames roundtable on Sportsnet 960 The Fan. We are all in agreement that one way to try to generate some more opportunities offensively is to mix up the lines. But Derek, what else do the Flames need to do to get that goal total up a little bit?
Well, I think they have to do two things. They're more aggressive on the forecheck under Daryl Sutter than they were under Jeff Ward. I actually asked Johnny Gaudreau about it, and we'll hear that conversation coming up in about an hour on Flames warm-up. And he said, yeah, they are a little bit more aggressive, both the forwards and the defensemen. That's one of the tweaks that Sutter has made since taking over as Flames head coach for the second time. But if you're going to play that way, you've got to do a better job winning battles. So if you can't carry the puck in and maintain possession and you have to dump it in, well, then you've got to chase it, and you've got to win 50-50 battles. That's the bottom line. And I think the Flames did an outstanding job of that in the first three games when Daryl Sutter returned behind the bench, a couple of wins against the Canadiens, and then one against the Oilers. They were really good at getting pucks in deep and retrieving them. They haven't been as good doing that of late, and I think that's one area where they have to be better. The other one, fellas, they've got to do a better job getting to the middle of the ice. And we heard Daryl Sutter talk about it after the game the other night. Yeah, the Flames had, 30 shots on goal in their 2-1 loss to the Senators? How many of those shots directly or indirectly led to quality scoring opportunities? I'll answer my own question. Not many. Not enough. They've got to do a better job. If they're going to funnel pucks to the net, getting bodies to the middle of the ice and to the other team's goaltender. They made life way too easy for Philip Gustafson in his first NHL start and in what turned out to be his first NHL win two nights ago. They can't make it easy on him tonight. They've got to make life miserable for the Senators' goaltender and for every goaltender they face moving forward. The Flames have playmakers, but it's tough to make plays when you have no one to make a play to. And that has to be one of the frustrating things for Johnny Gaudreau this season, is that he's a distributor. He's a pass-first guy. Now, he did, and I think he needs to do this moving forward, he did make a concerted attempt to shoot the puck more on Monday night. He had 4 shots in 9 attempts. That's good. Good to see, because then teams can't defend pass all the time on him. But Johnny Gaudreau, who has the 9th most assists in the NHL since he became a full-time player in the league back in 2014-2015, hasn't had an assist in 9 games. So that's not all on him. Guys have to get open, and it's not just about him setting other guys up. It's about everybody having options in the offensive zone, and those options, more often than not, have to be in the middle of the ice. So get in and win more battles and get to the middle of the ice into the front of your opponent's net, and I think those are two pretty good places to start.
Yeah, that's been my biggest criticism for the longest time with this group, and it goes well past this season. I mean, let's be perfectly honest. I would say that, you know, a lot of the last couple of years, the biggest criticism a lot of people have had with this team has been lack of offense, or certainly lack of quality chances. And I think we talked about this a bit yesterday, Klein. You certainly made mention of it. Justin Bourne has been very vocal on Twitter about it, with some video clips as evidence as well. Just so many times when you're watching the Flames on offense and they just look inept and they just look like they, you know, they just lose it at times, whether it's Monahan bobbling the puck to Derek's point, because Gaudreau does need that help. And again, it's not all on Monahan, and it's not all on Gaudreau. It's on everybody. But those are the guys you look at, obviously. And for me, guys, and I'd be curious where both of you stand on this, but I think I've criticized maybe Calgary more on that because I've noticed it more in terms of, I don't feel really, outside of maybe Lindholm, on this forward group, there's nobody really that has a shot that absolutely terrifies me. And I get that not every team has that. But if you're Calgary, you look at it, and for me, like if I'm a goaltender, I'll take a Johnny Gaudreau shot off the half wall. I'll take a Kachuk shot off the half wall. I'm not saying they're bad shooters. They're in the NHL. They're some of the best hockey players in the world. They are the best hockey players in the world. But I've never looked at this team and said, again, outside of Lindholm, I don't feel they've got those dangerous shots. So you have to get to those middle areas of the ice. Otherwise, to Derek's point, you'll play a goaltender in his first game and you'll make him look like Dominic Hasek because he's not really working all that hard. And we're talking about the best league in the world. Those are the best goalies. There's only 31 of those starting jobs, 62 total in the league. So you're not going to beat 62 of the best goalies in the world with shots from outside the hash marks and shots from the half wall. It's just not going to happen, and that's been too much the situation for Calgary. That's why I don't really – I obviously respect and know the value that analytics have, but people always show me Calgary's Corsi and Calgary's – everything of analytics for Calgary in the last 5 years has been pretty strong, and that's why you look at a guy like Dom Luchisin's model to make the playoffs in the Athletic, it's still pretty good because Calgary analytically has been a good team. That's where I have an issue with analytics sometimes, because just because you're getting the puck towards your opponent's net, it doesn't always mean those are high quality chances. That's why there is the high danger chance situation in category. But I don't feel Calgary does enough of that. And the primary reason why it sticks out, and maybe why I'm so frustrated with it, is because I don't feel they have that shot that's all that dangerous from outside of that home plate area.
You actually tee me up perfectly. The point I was going to get to was that you look at shot attempts in the last game. The Flames out-attempted Ottawa 5-on-5, 55-37, and the Sens had more high-danger chances at an 8-6 clip. That is just remarkably hard to do. If you were trying to do that, and I'm going to assume that was not part of the game plan for the Calgary Flames, this is a team that needs to get to those tough areas, needs to get to the front of the net and score some of those garbage-type goals. Will, to your point, Lindholm is a guy who can score, to steal a basketball term, from distance. Aside from that, you kind of got to work for what you're going to get with this group. And even with Gaudreau, who can do a lot of that distributing, he needs someone, to Derek's point, in front of the net to be able to capitalize on those. That's where Monahan needs to live. Just show him Dave Vaynerchuk highlights for the rest of time. That is where he needs to score a lot of his goals from. This is a team that has been way too perimeter based in the last few games, and they just do not have the guys to score that way. So yes, we have all kind of said the same thing in that this team needs to get to those tough areas to have this success, Wilsey.
Yeah, and things are a little bit easier for net front guys now than they were when Dave Andrechuk made a living there.
Absolutely.
These guys don't have 20-pound wood sticks in their hands that they use as weapons to cross-check you repeatedly in the back. I'm not saying that the front of the net is an easy place to be. It's not. You do take a little bit of a beating there, but it's not like it was
graphite easier than wood.
80s or 90s, that's for sure. So, yeah, the Flames, they have to have fewer one-and-dones in the offensive zone. How many of those did we see the other night, guys? No, all those shots on goal. A wise man once said you miss 100% of the shots you don't take. A wise man, of course, was Wayne Gretzky or Michael Scott, whatever your direction you want to go in there. But you know, where the Flames were shooting from the other night, it was almost like you miss 100% of the shots you do take because they're not from the right areas. You know what? If you want to shoot from the perimeter, that's fine, but you've got to get traffic in front because good things happen when you put the puck on net. If you get bodies to the net and pucks to the net, the puck might go directly in. Maybe you get a tip if you've got a guy out front. Maybe the shot gets stopped by the goaltender, but there's a rebound, and you create a little bit of havoc that way. Even shots that aren't right on the goaltender, if they're at the net, maybe it bounces off the end boards and creates a little bit of havoc. So, again, it's fine if they want to have a mentality to get the puck to the net, but you've got to get bodies to the net as well because goaltenders are too big and too good these days. You're not going to beat them clean all that often.
Last one on our daily Calgary Flames roundtable today. We've been pretty hard on the guys at times here, but from a positive standpoint, gentlemen, who has stood out to you as the best player the Flames have had so far this season?
Yeah, I thought this would be a fun topic, and I think one that could go in a number of different directions. I mean, earlier in the season, for me, Jacob Markstrom would have been hands down the Flames' most valuable player. It wasn't even a conversation, but he hasn't been as good of late. He had a .925 save percentage in his first 12 games. He's got an .874 save percentage in his last 11. So, you know, talking about guys who have to be better moving forward, and I know he's battled through some injuries, I think Markstrom's on that list. Wouldn't be high on the list, but he'd be on the list, and certainly not something I would have said about him earlier this season. So I thought about going in that direction, decided not to. Thought about going in the direction of what's been a terrific pairing with Chris Tanev and Noah Hanifin, and I think he can make strong cases for both of those guys. But what have we just talked about? How much the Flames have struggled to score goals, and they need more offense. So as a result of that, I'm not going to go with either guy on that defense pairing, but they would get honorable mention. I'm going to go with Elias Lindholm, and I know that his game's been a little bit up and down of late, but he's a guy who leads the team in assists and in points, and has those good numbers. They're not as good as they were in his first couple of years, but still pretty good, despite the fact that he does a lot of the heavy lifting for this team. He's a player that they use on both sides of special teams. He's a player that quite often has to go head-to-head with the other team's best player or number one line for most of the night. And he's a guy who gets it done at both ends of the ice. Defensively, he's excellent. Offensively, he's excellent. He's not the biggest guy, but he plays with some edge to his game. And just the guy you can put out there and trust in any situation. So for me, even though it was a tough decision, if I had to cast my MVP ballot for the Flames at this stage of the game, I'd go with Elias Lindholm.
Yeah, for me, I certainly bounced a couple of different names around in my head. It's funny, in our text thread this morning, we all had very similar names because I don't know if the list is all that lengthy. But yeah, for me, I'm with you, Derek. I think outside of the last 11 games, it would have been head and shoulders, not even a conversation, Jacob Markstrom. But he has struggled mightily, and I wonder if the injuries are playing a role in that, and we'll see what he does over the final 23 games. If he can get back in that form, obviously he gives the Flames a very good chance, knowing especially the style that Daryl Sutter is wanting or hoping this team can play. But for me, I'm going to go with this gentleman only because of how bad the season was last year. Then he was in trade conversations because people wonder if he, you know, had plateaued and what was the ceiling for Noah Hanifin. But for me, yes, the numbers are not going to jump off the page to you when you look at his numbers on HockeyDB or Hockey Reference or NHL.com. But Noah Hanifin has been real, real solid for this team. And I think a guy that struggled a lot with his confidence last year, we talk about it a lot. I think players do hear that noise from the outside, whether they want to admit it or not. And for a guy like Noah Hanifin coming from Carolina, probably not used to having a ton of heat or expectations or mics in his face when things aren't going well. But I think this year he's bounced back real nice. I think obviously the addition of Chris Tanev has helped mightily for him, but I got to give credit where it's due. And for Noah Hanifin, and I was a guy that said, yeah, you probably are seeing the ceiling of this player, and I would entertain trade conversations. I'm not saying by any means he's untouchable now because of the year he's had, but through 33 games this season, Daryl Sutter's given him a little bit more on that bone to chew. We're seeing some power play time. Maybe that leads to more offense for Noah Hanifin. I don't know what that offensive ceiling is for him, but again, I think a lot of focus has been on Tanev, and rightly so. But I wanted to give a little love to Noah Hanifin, just kind of that 180 from last year and how big the struggles were at certain times. I thought he's played real well, and certainly that pairing has been one of the best on this team, or the best from start to finish of the year. And, you know, I'd be curious to see what they do over the final 23 games, because you can even put them, I would say, in the conversation amongst some of the best across the entire NHL.
Both excellent picks. I'm going to shift away from where I said I was going to go in the text group, because I'm going last and you haven't picked him yet. I'm going to say Andrew Mangiapane. I think he has been the most consistent player on this Flames team this season. And I think anytime someone has been struggling, they have put Mangiapane with him, and that has got that player going. So I am going to say Andrew Mangiapane gets my vote in this one.
Jordan, I like sweet both client. Of those. I like that. I mean, I think both guys deserve to be in the conversation, so I like your picks, fellas. If I had to remember when you played minor hockey, they would give the most improved player award.
Yeah. Well,
if I had to hand that award out, I would give that award to Noah Hanifin. I think he's taken a big step forward, and I've even seen growth in his game going from Jeff Ward to Daryl Sutter, who's put him in a position to have more opportunities, namely on the power play, and I've seen his offensive confidence build. I still think we've really only seeing the tip of the iceberg offensively when it comes to Noah Hanifin. Defensively, I think his game's been great all season, but I still think there's more to give offensively, and we're starting to see that. And Andrew Mangiapane, how do you not love Eat Bread? I mean, the guy brings it every single day, whether it be at practice, when it's always him and Dylan Dubé last off the ice, morning skates, same thing, and in games. And for a team that has been consistently inconsistent, you have to love the consistent performance and work ethic you get from Andrew Mangiapane. So I'd give him, if there was an award, and Lou hands it out after every game, but if you had one for the season, the hardest working Flame, well, he'd certainly get my first vote.
All right, we got a jet. Wilsey, have a good call tonight, and you guys will all chat tomorrow.
All right, sounds good, guys. Have a good day.
Daily Calgary Flames Roundtable, brought to you by Mercedes-Benz Country Hills. Their certified pre-owned spring sales event is on, with special incentives on 2017 to 2020 vehicles. Visit MercedesBenzCountryHills.ca.
Flames warm-up starting soon. We'll